T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
An old friend of ours is on the line, former Celtic and coach Chris Ford. Chris, it's Dale and Michael. How are you?
Hi, Dale. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Chris.
A little sad today, you know, knowing with the passing of DJ at such a young age.
I was just saying to Michael a few minutes ago, Chris, you know, when Red passed, you know, it didn't exactly shock us. We'd seen him in the last couple of years. He had lived a long, full, complete life. Somehow we feel like DJ got cheated here.
Yeah, that's true. Red did have a full, hearty life and enjoyed life to the fullest. And DJ at 52 still had a long, we'd hope to have a long time with his family and continue along the coaching and maybe one day even get back into the NBA. But, he loved life. And when we brought him to Boston, he was the great player that we hoped he'd be. And, the kids loved him. I know my family loved DJ as a player. My young son at the time, Christopher, who is my oldest child, actually wore DJ's number all throughout his grade school and high school career and in honor of DJ.
Well, I asked Casey Jones this. I'll ask you too, Chris. Why do you think he was able to give bigger guards particularly so much trouble on the defensive end?
Well, he was tenacious. He was aggressive. He was strong physically. If you look at some of the highlights of DJ in his younger days, he could jump out of the gym with the best of them. But he was, focused and determined. And if you gave him the assignment or if he thought that he could stop someone, he would even tell Casey, hey, put me over on this guy and I'll shut him down. And he was fearless and willing to accept challenges. And I know that he made everybody a better player on the team. The passes that he made, I saw some quotes from Danny today about the passes that he made to Bird, whipping it by the defender's ears when they had their heads turned, and gave Larry countless layups. He was a great competitor, and I know there's also been talk about, that why wasn't DJ already in the Hall of Fame, and it's a shame that he wasn't alive to see that.
I know film study is a huge part of today's NBA game, and there are more resources, more things coaches and players can take advantage of that they weren't able to take advantage of in the mid-1980s. But was he much of a film guy, or was he more instinct? He just knew a guy's move? I mean, what was his strategy of shutting the guy down?
I think he was just instinctive. And, the willingness to play defense, that's what it takes. No one really wants that assignment. No one wants to go out there and put it all on the line defensively or be embarrassed if they're beaten offensively. But Dennis was always up to that challenge, and he was such an integral part of the championships there in Boston, and he was just a great teammate, a great guy to coach. And then I had the good fortune that after he retired as a player, to bring him on my staff as an assistant.
Baseball statisticians claim that there's no such thing as clutch and that you can't measure it, despite what your eyes tell you when David Ortiz comes to the plate. With DJ, he was one of those guys who was better when it mattered more, wasn't he?
He certainly was, and there'd be nights and days where DJ couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. But when it was a big game and a clutch shot, and we needed someone to step up, DJ was not afraid to take that shot. And he came up with some really clutch plays and clutch shots being made during his stay in Boston.
When we hear about DJ passing and we hear some of the clips from Johnny Most and hearing from you, Chris, and Larry Bird and Kevin McHale, it makes us all nostalgic for the good old days. I'm just wondering, 1986 with the Celtics, a great team. I believe you guys won 67 games. At the time, did the coaches and players realize that this was going to be, for lack of a better phrase, as good as it gets, one of the great moments, or is it just – you were just so caught up in the moment that you didn't have a chance to step back from it and put it in perspective?
I think we were able to put it in perspective at the time. As the season progressed and the home streak particularly, that team was 40-1 at home. 40-1. I mean,
how'd you lose the one?
And we had some nail-biting games, but, the players were extremely confident that they could pull it out at the end. We'd have our slow nights where you know, we'd play down to the opponent. But when it was crunch time, DJ and Larry and Kevin and Robert and those guys would all step up and pull out the victory.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. You mentioned, you know, Larry and Robert and Kevin. And how hard was it for a guy like DJ to join a roster like that? I mean, that talent-laden, and because he seemed to slip right into it seamlessly.
Yeah, I don't think it was that big of a deal for DJ. I think that it was a time where some of the people were doubting him. You know, he left Seattle kind of on a little sour note. Phoenix was more or less the same. And coming to Boston, you know, he came in there, you know, there were still some doubts, you know, from the people on the peripheral. But, you know, once DJ arrived in Boston, you know, he just fit right in. And, you know, he was a competitor. And the one thing, the beauty about those days in those particular teams during that era was they loved to practice. The practices were as much fun or even more fun than the games because they would get to go at it, and they humbled Bill Walton every single day. He was speechless at that time. Can you imagine that?
No, I can't. Well, let's be honest. The competition was probably better in practice than it was in the games.
It was pretty much so. You know, at today's rosters in the NBA, teams, if they have two stars, they can battle for a title. Back then, you know, in the 80s, you needed a roster of, you know, 8-9 deep in order to compete because Philly was unbelievable, Detroit, and Los Angeles Lakers, they were some great teams, and just great competition every single night.
Based on his reputation, you know, what had happened in Seattle and then Phoenix, did you have your own doubts when they brought this guy into Boston?
I didn't ever doubt when we brought any player into Boston, including myself when I arrived. You just kind of fit right in and go with the beat because you know you have a chance to win a championship, and you know that there's great players already there, and you're coming in there to help maybe be an integral part that would drive it over the top. But I don't think over all my years as a Celtic player and as an assistant and head coach, I don't think we had any malcontents. I think that, you know, particularly during those 80s, people just came in and got right in line.
You know, Chris, when you think about the 86 Celtics, everybody focuses on the big three and for good reason. But the backcourt was pretty unusual with Ainge and DJ. Do you see any current teams that have versatile guards like that? I mean, it's hard to call either one of them a pure point guard, and it's hard to call either one of them a pure shooting guard.
That's correct. I don't know if there's any teams that are that strong in the backcourt. I think that, teams, as you're looking, we just had our trading deadline just passed. There are a lot of teams out there looking for, you know, someone to either be the defensive guard in the backcourt or be the offensive shooter in the backcourt. And, you know, teams had a lot of needs. And if you look around all 30 teams in the NBA, they're not really content with what their makeup is in the backcourt.
How did you get the news yesterday? And I assume you were as shocked as all of us were.
Well, I my good buddy, Doug Lane,
yep.
Your EEI guy, he called me. I know he's down at spring training with the Red Sox, but he was the first to contact me when he got the news.
Because I know I was off watching my daughter play high school hockey, and I got a call from here. And you almost don't believe it when somebody's – I mean, come on, he's 52 years old. He's a former professional athlete. This can't be true.
Yeah, it is shocking and numbing. And, I didn't have the chance to see DJ yet this year in my circuit around the NBA and the NBDL, but I'd seen him late over the summer in the pre-draft camp, and that was the last time I'd seen him.
Chris, has the news led to some conversations with your former teammates and former coaches, just kind of like an unexpected, a sad family reunion in a sense?
Yeah, I talked to Don Casey last night, and he's out on the West Coast, and I haven't talked to any of the other guys yet, but you know, just talking to my family and my kids, they really loved DJ, and he was fun to be around. He made it really entertaining for the kids, and we all miss him greatly.
Oh, and just one more question, Chris, and you mentioned the Hall of Fame thing earlier. Do you believe that Dennis Johnson belongs in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, without question. I mean, if you look at his credentials, three NBA championships, MVP of the Seattle championship, countless, I think he made five appearances in the finals, his all-star game appearances, his defensive all-star selections, first-team all-pro selection. I mean, his credentials are more than well-deserving, and I just hope that it happens very shortly for his Donna and his children.
And as you said, the sad part is now he won't be there to enjoy it the way he should have been.
Exactly, and it's an honor that is surely coming soon, I would think.
Hey, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes, Chris. Thanks for taking the time to share some thoughts with us.
Okay, Dale, Michael, take care.
You take care.
All right, Chris, thank you.
Right. That is a former Celtics player, assistant coach, head coach Chris Ford.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.